Well, being the first Lord's Day of the month, the evening service, this gospel time, it's our family service, and we bid you welcome in the precious name of our dear Savior. And we are going to listen to a hymn. In fact, we're going to listen to two hymns. Family time, we normally have a period of singing beforehand, but let's listen to There Will Never Be a Sweeter Story. Story of the Savior's love divine. Love that brought him from the realms of glory just to save a sinful soul like mine. About a year ago, we had a visit from our brother Fred Orr Jr. from Brazil, and he was attending the service with us that Sunday night, and we sang the hymn, His Old Yet Ever New, the hymn 211, and we're going to hear this as our opening praise tonight. Stand to sing.
Thank you.
perhaps there's not a greater theme than the love of God. What a joy it is to be able to sing about the love that brought our dear Savior from above to die upon the cross. With that in mind, we're going to pray together, seek the face of God, call upon his name for tonight's meeting. Father, we thank thee for this theme that is old yet ever new. Indeed, a theme that is eternal as God himself. For God is love. He's infinite in his love. He is eternal in his love. And that love of God is seen in his relationship to this world. We thank thee that he created it. He inhabited it, this world. He populated it. He brought it into existence. He put into the Garden of Eden our first parents, Adam and Eve. And we thank thee that when man fell from his holy estate in which he was created, the love of God was seen again in providing a remedy for sin. And from the beginning, the promise was given to Adam that there would come one in the fullness of time to be the Redeemer. Indeed, a Savior that would crush the head of the serpent. Even though his heel would be bruised, the devil would be defeated. And Lord, we thank thee for the many wonderful types and shadows and symbols and prophecies in Old Testament times that pointed to the day when the Lamb of God would come into the world to be the Redeemer. It was in loving kindness that Jesus came, my soul in mercy to reclaim. And from the depths of sin and shame, through grace he lifted me, through love he lifted me. We thank thee for that love that you set upon this world, therefore, in sending down thine only Son to live among men, wicked, sinful creatures. We think of how he left the heights of glory, where he was surrounded by everything that was holy and pure, the very angels that worshipped him, and he condescended into the womb of a virgin. And he was made in the likeness of men. He took upon our flesh. He became man. He dwelt among us. Lord, what a wonder it is, the incarnation. And he did so for the purpose of being the Redeemer, the Savior of men. We thank thee for the love that was demonstrated in the whole life and ministry of Christ, but especially at the end when he went to the cross. And he took our sins and our sorrows and made them his very own. Lord, we want to thank thee tonight for Calvary. We thank thee for the shedding of the blood of the Redeemer, all the agony and the suffering that he went through, that we, the sinful souls of Adam, might be saved. Lord, we have descended from Adam. We have the sinful nature of Adam, but you came to redeem us and to save us by the sacrifice that was made at the cross. And Lord, we just want to acknowledge that at the gospel meeting tonight. So many of us that are part of this service, so many that are listening in, they have been to Jesus for the cleansing power. They're washed in the blood of the Lamb. Our future is secure. We know whose we are. We know where we're going. We can say it is well with our souls. And we can thank thee afresh for Calvary, for the love of God that is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost given unto us. We thank thee that God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then there are those that are with us tonight in this meeting, and they're not saved, and they need the Lord. And we pray that they will grasp God's love, that they will come to experience it in their heart, in the transforming power of the gospel. Oh God, save sinners tonight, for your honor and for your glory. Reach down thine arm of salvation. Pluck some soul here and there out of the burning. Bring them to the feet of the crucified Savior. Bring them, Lord, to acknowledge their sin before a holy God. Sin that condemns them. Sin that is bringing them down, down, down into a lost eternity. O God, may they see their undone and wretched condition before God. May they see sin for what it is, sin that has separated them from God, but sin that put the Lord Jesus upon the cross to suffer in the manner in which he did. And may their hearts be melted at such a sight of the crucified Savior in contemplation of his great love toward mankind. And Lord, may they be drawn powerfully, irresistibly to the cross tonight. There are many who have been prayed for this day, family members, friends who know not the Lord, or are part of the fellowship here. And as they relate their testimony and they seek to speak of what Christ has done for them, may your name be honored. May Christ be magnified. May hearts be touched. Oh God, we pray that you will bless them and bless their family. Lord, this is a family service. Indeed, we pray that thou will give them the deep longing and desire of their heart that they might know household salvation. Lord, this is our desire, all of the families here at Hebron. We want our loved ones gathered in unto Christ. Lord, give us that joy. Give it the joy, Lord, before we pass from this scene of time to see the family redeemed with the precious blood. Bless every sister congregation, Lord. We do commit our churches to thee in the presentation of the gospel tonight. We think of the hundreds and hundreds of people that will be listening in through the province and further afield. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down. Remember Lucci as he sings tonight. We thank thee for him. And we pray that you will bless just now his ministry and song as we come to listen to your servant. For Jesus' sake. Amen. We are very glad to have, I was going to say, with us tonight. In a sense, he's with us. He will be on your screen. He will be on my screen too, our brother Lucci. Lucci Boangio. And he is from Romania. Over the course of my life, God has allowed me to meet good friends in Christ in various parts of the world, and not least, of course, in the land that we love, the land of Romania, which I have often called a second home to me and my family. And our brother Lucci is a lovely friend in Christ, and his wife Alci and his children, and the wider family circle too. We have stayed in his home, we've enjoyed his fellowship, and he's going to sing a piece now entitled All the Way My Savior Leads Me. I'm not sure if Lucci has the opportunity of tuning into this meeting tonight. But if he is, and he's listening, let me thank him in the Savior's name for his willingness to be part of our family service and for providing these videos for us. May the Lord bless what we listen to now.
Steps may falter and my soul athirst may be, gushing from the rock before me, though a spring of joy I see, gushing from the rock before me, though a spring of joy I see. Oh, the way my Savior leads me, oh, the fullness of His love, perfect rest to me is promised in my Father's house above. When my spirit clothed immortal wings its flight to realms of day, this my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. This my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way.
Well, thank you, Lucci, in the Savior's name. Jesus led me all the way. What a tremendous theme that is. No matter what happens to us in this life, the crosses, the losses, the burdens, the trials, it's good to know as a child of God there is one who is leading us, one who is directing us, one who is in absolute control of every circumstance that comes into our life, good and ill. And we know that all things work together for good, therefore, to them that love God and to them who are the called according to His purpose. So we thank God's servant in the Savior's name. We take the opportunity once again to welcome you to the service tonight, wherever you're from, wherever you're listening in from tonight, and that might be further afield than the United Kingdom. I see some listening in from Kenya this evening, and I know that our sister Noring likes to join us as part of the congregation in Uganda. And near at home, we have friends in Newton Ards that are listening. And even down the Ards Peninsula, if they haven't made it yet, they intend to be part of the service tonight. I got a text today to say that there was a young man listening in along with a friend. This friend used to live right next door to the church. And when I was the minister there in Porto Vogue, he was much prayed for many, many, many years. And I have left Porto Vogue for many years. But it was good to know just a couple of weeks ago that this dear man came to trust in Jesus Christ as the Savior. And it is the intention of him being part of this service after his own meeting tonight. I'm not too sure how long the service in Porto Vogue lasts. It might be shorter than this one. But if he's made it to the meeting, we want to welcome our friends from Porto Vogue and wherever you're from, listening in sermon audio, Facebook, and YouTube. Quickly, let me run through the announcements. Tomorrow night, Sunday School Teachers Prayer Meeting, and that's at 8 o'clock, and it's on Zoom, and it is the usual link. Tuesday night is the Youth Challenge at 7 o'clock. That's on Facebook, or Hebron Facebook. And then Thursday night, the midweek service at 8 o'clock, and we've asked our brother David McCauley if he will stand in and preach on Thursday night. Presbytery has called a special presbytery time of prayer on Thursday in anticipation of another special meeting on Friday night for the presbytery, and so therefore, as the minister and also the elders of the church, we will be obliged to be part of that, and we want to be part of that to pray and seek the Lord. And then there is the extended time of prayer on Zoom thereafter. On Friday, Youth Fellowship will be meeting at 8 o'clock, and our brother Mervyn Story is scheduled to give his testimony. The youth meet by Zoom. Remember the prayer meeting? We are encouraged by the many who are attending the early morning prayer meeting, but we could do with more, and we want to keep emphasizing the times of prayer. Brethren and sisters, if you believe the Bible, if you believe that what we've been praying over since last March, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, if you're looking for the healing of the nation, the healing of the land, the intervention of God, there's only one way that God has guaranteed that this will come, and that is through prayer. And therefore, it behoves every Christian to lay hold upon God privately, and in every public season of prayer, by the grace of God, to have that appointment with God. And we want you to be part of the early season of prayer, the 6 o'clock prayer meeting on the Sunday, and also the Thursday night time of prayer. Sunday school is at 10:30 on Facebook. The Bible class, 10:30 on Zoom. The worship service, 12 noon, on Sermon Audio, Facebook and YouTube. I'll be here, God willing, to preach. And then at the gospel service at 7 o'clock, we're having a visit from the Reverend Tom Laverty. Do you remember the season of prayer from 6 through to 6:30? Once again, we acknowledge your tithes and your offerings for God's work. We thank you sincerely for your giving and the missionary gifts that have received in the past week or so. We mentioned them this morning, but there they are on your screen to see. Very thankful that so many are giving to the various works in these parts of the world. We have this very special request, and this is one of the last times perhaps we'll be making it, and that is for the special Bible training program that has been set up to help those in the developing countries. And we have accepted now actually 21 students, and by tomorrow possibly 22 from Kenya, Uganda, Guinea, and the Philippines. And this was a little Zoom link up that we had with many of them yesterday. About 16 were able to come to this meeting with some of our lecturers. You see the lectures mostly there at the top of the screen and then down the right-hand side. We have been praying very much for what is happening in Brazil, the city of Manaus, the city of Rio Branco, and other places too where missionaries serve the Lord and where we are hearing of the devastation that COVID-19 has been causing. We've also been part of the aid that has been sent out, the gifts that have been sent there to help these very poor people in a time when they're struggling with sickness and death. We've also helped in Romania, the distribution of food to this Roma community, and that happened just in the past couple of weeks. We were preaching yesterday in Pakistan. This young lady read some of the verses that I was preaching on, and what a joy it was just listening. I didn't understand it as such. I knew the passage that she was reading, but just listening to what she was reading in her language, the language of Urdu. And then this was preaching this morning in Pakistan. This is in Tarra, where our sister Freya worships and where others come together. And this man read the passage of scripture that I was preaching on. Very thankful for him doing that. And then we had the opportunity to speak to the congregation. And even as we were speaking, they were still coming in through the door. And they sent this letter to me. A meal was provided for them after the service to feed the children and the congregation. A little bit earlier than that, this morning I was preaching again in Pakistan. This was to the tribal people where our sister Deep labors and seeks to go out to win the Hindu people to Christ. The school ministry continues in Pakistan, this school ministry that we are supporting and paying the salary of the teacher that's teaching there. Please be in prayer, and this is essential because the negotiations are taking place right now over these days, and we hope to have a deal settled by this incoming week, a bookshop in Kitale in Kenya for moving from the kiosk that is in the shopping centre out into the town itself, getting back into shop premises. And then this new work that we mentioned this morning in the Philippines. We have a man that is coming into the training program who is already a pastor for 30 years and is also the principal of a little Bible college that he's running. But he wants to do our course. He wants to have connection with us. And we have been in touch with the pastor of this congregation for some time. And this is them giving out aid to the people who are needy, not only because of COVID-19, but because of a recent earthquake that has devastated that part of the Philippines. Now we move to a second solo from our brother Luce, and it is Amazing Grace. It's the more modern rendering of Amazing Grace. I know that you'll be familiar with this, and again, we trust that it will be a blessing to you.
How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like the flood, His mercy reigns, an unending love, amazing grace. Word, my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like the flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. Amazing.
Once again, Luce, we thank you in the Savior's name for being part of our family night tonight. And that's a beautiful piece, reminding us of the amazing grace of God. And we rejoice afresh in it. Just adding to those that we've welcomed to the service tonight, I understand that Robin Miller has been able to tune in. So Robin had surgery this morning, and he's in hospital. And if he's made it to this meeting, Robin, great to have you. We trust as you become part of our service tonight that you'll be blessed and that you will have a speedy recovery, and that these songs, these hymns that you've heard tonight will help with that recovery. And we also have our sister Freya from Pakistan tuning in this evening. And of course, it's a little bit later over there because there's a 5-hour difference, so that kind of makes it, 12:30 for her. So it's good to have her. Now we're going to have a music recital from the organist and pianist. Going to play a little hymn for us because we need time to change over from our PowerPoint presentation to our Skype link up. And you just pray now as the music is being played that the technology will come together and we will have this link up with Hubert and Barbara Larrivee from Connecticut in the United States of America. Thank you.
Good evening. I would like to give my testimony. My parents were both from New Haven, Connecticut, where I was born on July 19, 1943. I have two older sisters and was raised in West Haven, Connecticut, which is a small town on the southern coast of Connecticut. I am of Italian descent. I did not have Christian parents. I was raised in a Roman Catholic environment. Went to church regularly, Sunday school, all church requirements were kept, because this, we were told, was the only way. All other religions out there were false, and we were to have nothing to do with them. So, of course, this is what I did. Growing up, I still kept with the Catholic Church. God's plan, this I know now, removed me from my hometown of West Haven and brought me to where I am today in Waterbury, Connecticut. I attended a Catholic nursing school, St. Mary's Hospital School of Nursing, in September of 1961. There I met my husband, and he was one of my first patients. Upon finishing my education, we were married on October 27, 1964, still staying within the Roman Catholic guidelines. We raised over our three children, Cheryl, Michelle, and Adrian, under Catholicism. We also have 10 grandchildren. 20 years later, Yubi suffered severe anxiety and depression. At about the same time, we had another difficult circumstance to face. This, I know, was all in God's plan. One evening, Yubi was outside. A pastor, Frank Perry, pastor of a Berean Baptist church in the area, was doing neighborhood visitation. He met with Yubi. I was afraid to stay because they were not Catholic, so I left. He invited us to their services on Sunday. To be a support to my husband, I agreed to attend with him. I was very scared. At first, I tried not to listen, but I was hearing things I have never heard before in my Catholic services. For 6 months, I attended the services, but would also attend Catholic services afterwards. God impressed on my heart that they kept vital information for me for my eternal life. I always thought I was going to go to heaven. No doubt, I did exactly what the church told me to do. So why would I not be all right and deserve to go to heaven? But in the Christian church, I heard Romans 3:10. There is none righteous, no, not one. In Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Wow, whatever happened to all my works? They never told me about Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Or Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I felt totally betrayed. I had to digest this. It was very, very difficult. As I stopped going to the Catholic services, I concentrated on what I was learning about the scriptures, attended church services, Bible studies, and Sunday school. The Lord was convincing me of my sinful state, and on March 31st, 1986, I repented of my sins and pleaded for God's forgiveness. I will never forget the feeling that overcame me. My life has never been the same. July 27, 1986, after our salvation, I was baptized in the Berean Baptist Church. I was active with the 50s and over group. We cooked for our fellowship times. I was the person who sent cards to the members. I ran a clothing room, took care of the church grounds, and planted and cared for a memorial garden. Reading my Bible more and more, I would come across verses that gave me great comfort and assurance because of the turmoil my family life was in. I would like to share them with you because they gave me great comfort. Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. God surely showed me what these verses spoke of. As my Christian faith increased, we were able to move on to a more comfortable lifestyle. The love of Christians in our lives gave us such strength to persevere. I saw that what the Bible said was true, and faith in Christ was so rewarding. One of my favorite verses I have claimed, and believe me, I have many, is 2 Corinthians 12:9. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, rather I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ rest upon me. This verse always brings tears to my eyes, for it was in great distress and difficulty I sought the help of God through Jesus Christ my Savior, and he did just what it says. My favorite psalm is Psalm 25. It was during those very difficult days this psalm brought me great comfort. I love Christian hymns, and the song I chose when I was baptized on July 27, 1986 was Just As I Am. Two other Christian hymns that I really faithful with is How Great Thou Art and It Is Well With My Soul. We always believed in the sovereignty of God and not the free will of man taught in the Armenian churches, but that was what we had available to us. We were in those churches from 1986 to 2014. My husband decided it was time to leave. He went online and came across the Free Presbyterian Church and their doctrine, and we aligned with it greatly. Then God introduced us to Hebron. October 27, 2016, Pastor Park and Susan visited us on a day which was very joyous for us. On January 5, 2020, we became members of the Hebron Free Presbyterian Church. I always identified with your love and respect for the purpose of prayer and the importance of missions. That was always a great part of my Christian life. My challenges are living with the Christian life as God wants me to, being faithful to Christian principles set up for me in the Bible. Still having a sinful nature, sin does enter into my heart and mind, and this greatly distresses me. But I have comfort knowing I have a Savior to look to and lean on for guidance and forgiveness. This gives me the strength to persevere and continue on with my Christian walk, trying to correct the weaknesses that have beset me, but I know that will only be accomplished when I enter heaven and are with my Savior for eternity. Praise God for that promise. Now, to the youth and the young people, if you are not in a Bible-believing church, I strongly urge you to seek one out so you can get the principles that you need to set your life on. To the youth and young people, I say, cherish the Christian parents and home you have been blessed with. I never had that attending the Christian church, the Catholic church. Participate in all the functions they offer to you. Read, study your Bible. Realize you are a sinner in need of a Savior. Seek Him, find Him, and repent of your sins. Then work on developing a good Christian testimony in life. Now, if you don't come from a Christian home, but do attend a Christian church, be diligent in your attendance and participate in all that is offered to you. Read and study your Bible, seek the Savior, repent of your sins, and develop a good Christian testimony in life to those around you. And, of course, make sure you tell your friends about Jesus. The life that you will have as a saved person is the only way to be happy. This world without the Savior is torture and destructive. I lived in this world unsaved for 43 years, and believe me, the saved life is the only rewarding way. So seek ye the Lord while he may be found. I have come a long way, but need to continually move forward in my Christian walk, for I am only a sinner saved by grace. Thank you for this opportunity, and may God richly bless you. Good night.
Thank you for your willingness, Barbara. Okay. You've been on a journey.
Yes, I have. I'm still going.
We're still going. We're still traveling every day on that journey. And I think maybe your end, there's a little slight problem with the internet, but it's okay. We're going to get through this testimony tonight. We thank God for that day when you were brought by saving faith to Christ. And it's been an interesting journey to listen to, and how you came into contact with the church here. That's quite amazing. You're away over there in the United States of America, and here's little Ballymoney town. It's called Cowtown for obvious farming reasons. But you got in contact with us, and you've been part of this congregation. Hubert, good to see you tonight, my brother.
Thank you, Pastor.
I might say, if anybody has any question, they can text me if they have any question they want to ask. But we'll have a chat together, I think, Hubert. I see you've got the hat still in the background.
Yes.
We did a little mock of this on, when was it, Friday we did this?
And, yes.
I noticed this hat in the background. It's still there. Amen.
Amen.
Well, brother, you came to know the Lord many years ago as well, and you're going to tell us a little bit about that, maybe something of your upbringing?
Yes, I will. Good evening, everyone. It's nice to be here with you. First, I'd like to give you a brief history of my family background. My grandparents on my father's side were from Canada. They were farmers. When they came to Connecticut, they brought their children with them, all 12, my father being one of them. My grandparents on my mother's side were from Colorado. My grandfather was a silver miner. At 2 years of age, my mother's mother died. And at 15 years old, her father died. She was an orphan. So she had an aunt here in Connecticut. She came to live in Connecticut. She eventually met my father. They married. They had two sons, my oldest brother, and myself. I was born in 1937 in Waterbury, and I've lived here all my life. As a child, we lived in a multiple dwelling directly across from a Catholic church. They had an elementary school, a kindergarten, the eighth grade. They had a convent and a rectory. But my brother and I attended an elementary school that was down the street. My parents were non-church goers. I never saw my parents in church my whole life. They just never went. But my mother wanted me to go to church, so she started sending me over to the Catholic church. I attended that church from the time I was 8 years old to the time I was 12. At 12 years old, I had an incident that kind of changed things for me. It was a Saturday afternoon. I went to confession across the street to confession. It was in a church, was in like a foundation church, because later on they built a church on top of it, a huge church on top of it. But you had to go down steps to enter into it, and it was very dark inside. The only thing that was lit up was the candles that they had on the altars. And then that, you hardly could see anything. And there was probably six people in line, and I got in line. It's my turn to the confessional. I knelt down, priest opened the door to the confessional. Well, within a few minutes, we started having a little spat. I don't know how it started, but he got a little huffy, a little rude. He got louder and louder. He got a little nasty, and eventually he slammed the door right in my face. So pushed the curtain aside. I walked out, and all I could see was like a dozen white eyes staring at me in the dark. Took a little walk and left the church, went outside, and I looked up into the heavens, and I said, I don't have to confess to that man. I can go right over there in that hill and talk to God. And that was my kiss of death from the Catholic Church. Yeah, I never really involved with them too much. Let's see now.
It's good if you can to, I think leaning forward, we hear you better.
Okay, I will do that then. All right, at 14 years of age, I started high school. And at that time, all the high schools were down in the center of town. So after school got out, there was a mass of teenagers floating around the center of the green. And I started hanging out in town, and eventually I ended up going into the pool room, where I guess I kind of made it my home away from home for the next 3 years after that. I was always in there shooting pool, and there was a whole bunch of unsavory characters in there, mafia men, bank robbers, dope addicts, drug dealers, psychotics, and I was in amongst them, but never got involved with them. Never did anything to shame my family in any way. At that time, also, I started boxing. Started training with the local professional fighters, and I trained for 3 years. When I turned 16, I had 7 fights at the Buckingham Arena. Won seven, and 5 by knockout. After that, I kind of got bored with things, so I joined the U.S. Navy for 4 years. The Navy sent me to school for 6 months. I became a radio operator. And then I, pardon, go forward. Oh, and I,
I have one of those too.
Oh, she got it. She's pushing me forward.
Because he's going back.
Oh, my back. Okay, so.
Good to have someone to push you forward. You don't want to backslide.
So, they sent me out into the Pearl Harbor, and I sailed out of on a ship out of Pearl Harbor for 3.5 years. Went to the Philippines and Australia, and saw all the islands over in Midway and so on. And at the end of the 4 years, when I was discharged, I felt like I wanted to sail a little longer, so I joined the Merchant Marines for 1.5 years. And then I got out of there, and I was like 23 years old. And I had a very strange thing happen to me, which I have to tell you about. It's a Lord's Day afternoon, about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. The town was totally empty because all the stores at that time closed, because that's the way people were then. There was nobody on the street, and there was no cars. And down from across the other side of the street, a couple came walking with two children. And when they got across from me, the children got all excited. They said, "You, it's you, it's you." They came running across the street, grabbed my hand. I said hello to them and everything. The parents came across and said, "Oh, how are you?" And I said, "How are you?" They said, "Good," and they're going good. Exchange pleasantries, and they said to me, "Take care, Hubert." And off the street they went up the street, and I have to tell you, I never saw those people throughout my life. I never saw those children. I don't know who they were, but I've got an idea over the years who they might be. But it was quite strange. I thought I mentioned that to you. Well, went into the hospital. I had an infection in my lymph nodes, in my neck, and in my groin. Didn't know what was causing it. Went in it. So I had to have 26 shots of penicillin. And they weren't like the COVID shots. They were intramuscular. The needle was like a dagger. So on one of these times when I was supposed to have a needle, comes the supervisor with a young student who was going to give her first needle. And that nurse happened to be my future wife. When she ejected, it was like cute to hit me with a start. Got around to start dating her. When she graduated from school, eventually ended up married. Became fruitful and multiplied. We had three daughters, which they in turn ended up being married, being fruitful and multiplied, and now we have 10 grandchildren. Where am I now here? Let's see.
Yeah.
Oh, now another thing. Around that time, I had like a foreshadow of things to come. As a child, I was always enjoyed listening to prop planes fly overhead, you know, small planes from the airport. You could hear them come, and they flew over, and they flew away. And I always had an exhilarating feeling, like adventure, when I heard these planes. And this lasted for years, through my 20s and so on, like a train whistle from summer belt from another person. Well, I got to be in my late 30s. How are you hearing me? I got to be in my late 30s. One day a plane flew over and I got such a depressed. And that started carrying like into my 40s. At about 45 years old, lost my place here, Pastor.
You're okay, Hubert. You've got a wife beside you. I was just thinking when she was pushing you forward, I was telling our congregation this morning to go forward. So that's a good exhortation for you tonight.
Okay, now here I am. All right. Well, the sins accumulated over the years when I was a child, and I was beginning to reap what I'd sowed all my life, and I started having panic disorder attacks, very severe, nasty, nasty things. And I think of the, surely your sins will find you out, and they found me out, and I was really in a bad way at that time. And about that time, 1986, Pastor Perry showed up and invited us to his church, the Baptist Church, and we started going to his church. And I felt the weight of my sins as I was going there. At first, I was in combat with the Lord. I was fighting with him. But as a few months went by, I began to realize this was the word of God, and I felt the weight of my sins, as I said once before. And finally, at a church service on Resurrection Day, it was on an Easter Sunday, the pastor said, come just as you are. I said, that's it. I surrender, Lord. You win. I ain't fighting you anymore. I'm yours. I don't know why you ever wanted to save the lives of me, but I came forward and I started walking with the Lord. And now, as a young Christian, I started witnessing one of my buddies, Whitey, whom I hung around with for years, toured the Merchant Marines, and we bum around New York a little bit. So we were talking one day, and I had him, he was holding his hand, he was holding mine, and we looked in our eyes, and I was pleading with him to come to the Lord for salvation. And he said to me, you, I wish I could, I wish I could. Finally, he said, but I can't. He says, I'd rather hit the lottery. You see, Whitey's God was money, always was. He never hit the lottery, never came to the Lord Jesus Christ. A bullet settled all that when he was 54 years old. So where is Whitey now? I've got my thoughts on where he is now. 1988, I retired from the fire department. Those attacks were slowly subsiding. I don't remember them. And I counted those at the time of my life when I suffered so much with those attacks as a blessing from God, because it moved me, set me on the right path for what God wanted me to do. To follow. We resigned from the Baptist Church in 2014 because of my driving skills and so on. That's when we started. I started writing you and became the Baptist Church and loved the doctrine. I always loved the doctrine. There was something earlier that made me realize that the Armenian it was not the doctrine that I could be. I love the doctrine. And I have to say now that I got to go down here now. I'd like to answer some questions now. The first question is, how were you converted? And the answer is, by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how I was converted. How did you come across the Free Presbyterian Church of Huron? My answer, the short answer, is by providence. And the long answer is by the will of God. And the next question was, why did you want to join our membership? And basically, because of your stand on the gospel truth. So much for the gospel truth. And I'd like to say, it is one of the best Christian churches on the planet, bar none. Have you ever had pastoral visits from the minister? Yes, had a very nice visit. And I'd like to say they are lovely people. And we went to the bus stop, and when they arrived, they got in the car, we went home, we had a nice meal. We shared some thoughts and time together, and then finally we started bowling. And I have to say, Susan was the star. She was the star of that bowling session. Pastor, myself, my wife, could not break 140. Susan bowled 257, and I think one time she threw 7 inches right in the row. We all marveled at what a golden arm she had at that ball.
That was a great day we had with you. I can remember taking the journey on the coach and all the snow that was there because it was snowing that day. It took us a couple of hours to get to your house. You met us at the bus station. We went to your home. It was November, but you provided a beautiful Thanksgiving meal. I remember that. I think it was turkey. And I do remember we were playing the 10-pin bowling on the Wii. They suggested that we went 10-pin bowling, and we thought we were going down to some bowling alley. But it was the Wii. And Susan, who had never played it before, she was getting all these strikes, and she was beating the rest of us.
Unbelievable.
I think I was last. You know, I didn't do very well, but at least one of the parts came out champion that day.
Yeah. We were all horrible. You were horrible as the rest of us, but Susan, she was just fantastic. Now, I'd like to say one more thing here. What advice would you give to young people today? Well, I would say separate yourself from the ongoings of this world. Take up your cross and walk alongside the Savior. If you do that, you will never walk alone. He will never leave nor forsake you. This is his promise to you. Oh, and one that I forgot. Well, what are my challenges? People, their salvation, the lost, where they're headed, and the conveying the gospel to others. Basically, that's my challenge. What I'd like to do to end this, I would like to be my favorite verses of scripture. Some of my favorite scriptures. My favorite psalm is Psalm 40. And I like to read these first 14 verses from the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made was made. In him was life, and life was the light of man. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended not. There was a man sent from God, his name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might be. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, or the will of the flesh, or the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, grace and truth. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Amen. That's a tremendous passage of Scripture.
Oh, I love that passage of Scripture. It says an awful lot, awful lot.
It brings you from the beginning of time and our blessed Savior who was there to the time that he came into this world to be our Redeemer, when the Word was made flesh and lived among us. Trust the Lord will bless his Word and also bless the testimonies that you've given this evening. Hubert and Barbara, we love you in the Lord, and you're very much part of the... Thank you. You're very much part of the congregation here at Hebron. They know your names. They have now seen your faces. We did have a prayer meeting one time that you were part of. You remember the elders and the committee men were part of that as well.
Oh, yes. Yes.
So we'll have to try that again sometime soon.
Well, that would be nice. And we're looking forward to meeting you all in the congregation there, here, there, or in the air.
Amen. Well, if COVID-19 starts to disappear, you never know. You might be able to visit Hebron physically here.
We might. After this year, I feel like I'd like to.
We were talking about that.
Yeah. Thanks. And you can bring your hat with you. Thank you, brother and sister. May the Lord bless you both.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Well, we're going to bow together in prayer.
Okay, thank you. Yes.
Father, we thank thee for your grace that has triumphed in all of our lives that are saved. Thank thee for the day when Hubert came to Christ and Barbara was saved by your grace. Praise thee for all that you've meant to them since that day. And Lord, you know their heart's desire to see their whole family gathered unto the Savior. We pray that this prayer will be answered for your glory. We pray for all of our families as we've done so already tonight. We think, Lord, of family members that are still strangers to your grace, strangers to God. Lord, have mercy upon them. Bring them to the foot of the cross and save them, Lord, even this very day. Work in their hearts by the power and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Bless your servants, encourage them in the Lord. Bless the testimonies that we've listened to tonight. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor.
So thank you. We'll probably disconnect now. All right. God bless you. No questions. Everybody's happy. So there's no interrogation tonight. Okay. God bless you. Well, I want to thank you for tuning in tonight and being part of the congregation here. And just in a moment or two, our sisters will come and play the closing hymn. We'll get it up on the PowerPoint for you to look at the words as the meeting comes to an end. So thank you in the Savior's name for being with us tonight here at Hebron. It's the hymn 227. I think we're getting it up. Okay. Is there a heart that is waiting, longing for pardon today? Hear the glad message proclaiming, Jesus is passing this way. Okay. Every time we meet for a gospel service, there's no doubt Jesus is passing this way. He visits where his name is honored, where the gospel is preached, where testimony is born to the grace of God. And we've heard that tonight in the lives of Hubert and Barbara. Jesus is passing this way. He's passing your way, just where you're sitting. Will you not do what the hymn writer says here tonight? Will you not come to thine only Redeemer, come to his infinite love? Come to the gate that is leading homeward to mansions above. Will you not come now and seek the Lord while he may be found? We trust and pray that you will. Heavenly Father, dismiss us now in thy fear and in thy love. Let your word live on as we think of the one who became flesh and dwelt among us. As we think of how as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. May there be that receiving, may there be that believing. May men and women and young people come to trust in the living Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.